Hello, welcome to the Lean of Plants podcast. My name is Chelsea, and if you are struggling to lose weight on a plant-based diet, then this podcast is for you. While there are thousands of books, podcasts, and resources about the benefits of a plant-based diet, the reality is that being vegan does not guarantee losing weight. If you are feeling frustrated and confused about where to start, or you know exactly what you should be doing, but you just can't seem to rustle up enough willpower to do it, then keep listening. In this podcast, you'll learn the truth about plant-based weight loss, but just as importantly, how to use proven methods of behavioral change to turn what you know into lifelong habits that lead to getting and staying lean. Can't wait to get started. Let's do this. Hello, welcome to the Lean of Plants podcast. I am super excited to have you here, and we're going to be talking about a trip that I did a couple of months ago to the States and how I came back and surprisingly actually lost body fat. And I did a podcast episode, a YouTube video about this, but I wanted to go more in depth in a podcast because travel is such a big part of most people's lives. Being out of our home environments, most of us are not just homesteaders and homebodies where we're constantly at home. So knowing how to navigate different locations, travel, planes, in being in situations where you have to ask for what you need, it's a very vital skill if you're going to not only lose however much weight you want to, if that's your goal, but also maintain that long term. And I want to be really clear up front. I've started to realize that the reason people don't maintain or continue to make progress is because they have massive disruptions to what their normal schedule looks like. We can set routines and we can set systems for ourselves, but the moment that they change, that's when our results will also change. So we have to have consistency throughout our process long term if we're going to maintain results. I think this is hopeful news because it means that as long as we understand what our systems are, then, and we have that clarity, then we just need to follow through on them. And if we're not following through on them, then we just got to make them easier, more obvious, more satisfying, make it harder to not follow through. And then once you put those things in place, then you just do it. One more thing before we get into this. A lot of people want to have their cake and eat it too, in that they have an identity where they want to be at a certain way, or they want to look a certain way, they want to feel a certain way in their bodies. If you think about, well, what's my dream outcome right now? If you're listening to this podcast, it's probably you want your habits to be super consistent. You want to be eating vegetables on a daily basis. You want to be looking freaking amazing. You want to feel confident in a bikini or wearing clothes that reflect who you are, having energy to play with your kids, all of those things, right? That's the outcome, that's the goal. But then when you think about, well, what's the identity that I have? A lot of people have a contrasting identity where they want to be the person who goes with the flow when they're out with others. They want to experience the different foods when they go and travel. They want to be someone who is lean and has routines that set them up at home, but then they want to maintain some of the fun and the identity that they have around travel and around social situations. And I want to challenge that today, and I want you to put your challenge glasses on where you're thinking about everything with this fine filter of, hey, if I feel resistance to it, why? What is the internal resistance that I'm feeling? What is the cause of that? Is it because there's some truth? And if not, then disregard it. But what I'm going to challenge you with is that where you are today is the result of your behavior around food and your identity around food. And if you're going to change where you are today and you're going to get different results, then that's going to encompass all of your identity around food and all of your behavior. You cannot just pick and choose which ones you want to keep and then have disregard the ones that feel most comfortable. You can't just say, hey, I'm going to drink every weekend and I'm going to eat healthy in the week. Because potentially you trying that and you doing that and wanting to have that is what is leading you to where you are. So you have to be prepared to let go of your current behavior if you want a different outcome. That is how all behavioral change works. So there's three steps to actually maintaining your weight or not gaining weight when you're out and about and traveling. And the first one is that we need to plan. We need to actually have an understanding of what we're going to be doing and get really proactive about what that could look like so that we are not destined to fail. It's that whole adage of those who fail to plan are planning to fail. The second one is that we need to proactively communicate. We need to think about who do I need to talk to? What restaurants, what facilities do I need to try to find? What people do I need to have in my corner? What conversations do I need to have? Communication is such a vital part of you getting what you need to succeed. And I was watching Suits the other day, and there was a phrase in there where the Meghan Markle's character, Rachel, was saying to her boyfriend, Mike Ross. If you're a fan of Suits, then please hit me up. I really, really like it. There's a lot in there about asking good questions and psychology, and I just really enjoy it. But anyway, she was having this conversation about how she would have to go and have an awkward conversation with one of her bosses. And her boyfriend pointed out to her, he's like, hey, if you want to be a lawyer, you're going to have a million awkward conversations. Is it in essence like, yeah, you're going to have awkward conversations. And honestly, it's the same if you're going to change your behavior in any way. And the third piece is to make it feel fun, because we're replacing a behavior that is enjoyable to us. So we have to find other ways for that to be enjoyable and still have that something that is attractive. Otherwise, we're not going to follow through on it very long. I want to go deep into all of these things. So the first one, when we're planning, we need to be thinking about all the contingencies around what that looks like. Where am I going to stay? What facilities am I going to have access to? What shops or foods will I have access to? What is going to be in season? Where am I going to be eating? What will I need from the store? Do I have a fridge in my hotel room? If I'm camping, is there a fridge or a freezer at the camping ground? Am I going to be cooking on a fire? Am I going to be cooking on a stove? What kind of food am I going to have access to in the place that I'm at? Is that going to be getting from stores? Is that going to be getting from farmers markets? If I'm traveling to a place where I don't speak English, like where am I going to go? Am I going to go to local markets? How am I going to ask about the ingredients? And I know that this sounds really, really overwhelming, but this is just really a preliminary investigation so that when you rock up somewhere, you have some kind of idea of what that looks like and how you're going to be successful in that, because our brains are really not very good at making complex decisions in the moment unless we have an idea of what we're trying to achieve and we've got some preset ideas that align with our identity. We almost always act in accordance with our identity and the environment around us. So if your current identity is I go with the flow and I don't ask the waiter to remove oil or can you cook me a baked potato or I don't want to be a massive inconvenience, then your environment is going to propel you to do the same kind of behavior that has always been in line with your identity. So you have to change environment if you want to change identity, because identity changes through evidence. Environment changes through planning and it changes through proactivity. So you always got to be thinking about where and what and how and who, and making a bit of a, having some idea of what that is going to look like. And you can use this on a micro level for if you're going out and it's just a day trip. So, for example, my husband and I went with a friend of ours to Auckland on a day trip. And so we were thinking about, all right, we're going to have oatmeal. We're going to bring oatmeal with us in the morning. We're going to have some I'm going to cook up some potatoes, and I know that they keep really well in the car. I just put some ice packs in with there. I want to be eating protein every day, or like a higher protein source, so I'm going to cook up some tofu with some nutritional yeast, and I know that that travels really well. I know that it's great finger food. I know that where we're going, and I know that there's places where we can eat coffee, I drink coffee, which is really important to me. And then I knew for dinner that there was somewhere that I wanted to go that had vegan options that I already had looked at the menu for. So I had an idea of what that day was going to look like, and it meant that I was very prepared to do things in line with what were important to my goals. I'm going to go all through all of these things, and I'm going to show you the story of what this actually looked like on my most recent trip. So the second part of this is that you have to be proactively communicating. And there's two parts here. The first one is to understand that you aren't going to be understood or supported by everyone. They may think that you're obsessed, or that you're weird, or that you're an inconvenience in some way. If you've ever had to put yourself out there, you know that this is the case. And what I want to challenge you on is that that is okay. That that's actually, in some ways, a requirement to success. And if you feel those judgments, and you feel that you've got people who don't understand you, then welcome to being different. Welcome to doing something that's not the status quo. Did you think that you were going to be able to get a different result than 90% of people by doing the same thing and everyone understanding you? No. So embrace the uncomfortableness of it and be okay with it. Even if it doesn't feel good, you can feel something in your body that is uncomfortable and still choose to power through it. And I heard this great quote the other day, and it was saying that fear is a mile long and a centimeter deep, or something like that. And it's once you hop into fear, you realize it's not actually as bad as you thought it was. It's not actually as deep. It doesn't actually drown you, but it does tend to go on for a really, really long time. Like if you're walking along, you're going to have these little milestones of fear, or these little, you're going to get your feet wet in fear, essentially, which is what being uncomfortable is. But the more you do that, the more you realize it's okay. You're not drowning. But when you stand outside and you're looking in, and you can't swim because you're not used to it, you look in that ocean or that lake of fear, and it is really scary. But you've got to just get into it and accept that it is going to be okay either way. The second piece is that people respond a lot better to change if you make it as easy for them as possible. And this is where selling the outcome and not making people think for you, being a proactive problem solver. And I remember my parents doing this for me really well, where they'd tell us if we weren't allowed to do something. So we'd say, hey, mum, can we get a pet, or can we do this or something? And normally the answer was, maybe we'll think about it. And then for some things, like having a pet, the answer to begin with was a no. But what they did well was they would almost always say, well, the answer's no, but you can proposition me to change that. You can sell it to me, or at least you have the opportunity to sell it to me. And so what that allowed us to do was to take some of the thinking effort so that they could make an easy yes or no. And that means that they're much more likely to. So if we could solve for, and I've said this to my daughter as well, my daughter really wants to have a pet. I don't think it fits in with our lifestyle. But I've said to her, hey, if you can solve for this pet is not able to come inside because I really don't like animals inside, and if you can solve for how we deal with this when we travel, and how you're going to pay for all the vet bills, because I don't want to do that, and how you're going to have the time to look after it, and how you're going to do all these things without my input, if you could potentially solve for all of those things, then the obstacles in my mind are potentially removed. And if I could have enough of those obstacles removed, then maybe the answer would be yes. I mean, transparently, I don't think that those things are going to be removed. And when it comes to a pet, I think that there needs to be a lot of adult input, and I don't really want to do that. So most likely, if we do ever have a pet, it will be a short-term foster situation of a guinea pig or a chicken. I don't know. Anyway, that is the kind of idea that you want to take on, is you want to make it easy. So if you're saying to someone, hey, can we go out for dinner? Or I'm not going to eat the kind of foods that you would typically have at a steakhouse. Look up a restaurant. Look up the menu. Figure out where you want to go. Ring in advance. Have a couple of options. Propose different ideas to the people that you're around. If you are the one that comes and you have an array of three different places that you could go, and you present the menu and you say, hey, like, these are our options and this is where I think we should go because ... and you sell it to them, that's a lot easier for someone to say yes to than it is just for them to say, for you to say, oh, I don't want to eat animal products, or I eat no oil, and then leave it there, because then it just makes it hard for someone else. In the same way, if you are in a situation where you're in an Airbnb, let's do a hotel. Hotel's a bit easier. You're in a hotel and you're wondering what the facilities are. You can ask for a room that has a microwave. You don't want to just say, hey, I need a place to cook my food. You can actually say, hey, I know that some of your suites have microwaves. Can you please put me in a place that has a microwave and a mini fridge? If that's not possible, say, hey, like, do you have a microwave in the lobby? You're not asking them to think. You're just asking them to give you a yes or no answer. That's very easy for them to accommodate. You're not saying like, hey, I am going to need to cook on site. Solve this for me. You're making it very simple. People love to not have to think. People love to not have to creatively problem solve. So the more that you do this for people, the more likely that you will be successful. And I know people that have even put water into beer bottles and walked around with what looks like alcohol because it's simply easier to not have to have those conversations of why aren't you drinking, or are you pregnant? Because you're not having to really problem solve for anyone putting something on you. You've already solved, and you're preemptively, proactively solving for the fact that people are going to ask you questions, and therefore you're going to just make it easy by an environmental change. So think about this way. Think about it that way. Think about, how can I make it easy to slip into behavior? How can I communicate that with the people that I need to in order to sell a result that I want? And step number three is to make it fun. And I think this is really easy once you start getting clear and committed on what you actually want to achieve, what your non-negotiables are, what your boundaries are, because you're forced to. So what I like to do is I like to find seasonal produce in the places that I'm going, because I know that wherever I travel, it's going to be slightly different. Fruit and veggies are all going to taste different. There's going to be different types of hummuses as well. There's going to be a whole lot of different produce that I don't have access to at home, or it's just a different season. Even just in the difference between the North Island of New Zealand and the South Island. So that's really enjoyable to me. The next one is to do things that aren't necessarily food related, or they are food related, but they're not restaurant or eating out related. So picnics, going out and just drinking a coffee together rather than going out for food, cooking together, or other non-food related activities, going to an arcade, going to a movie, which, I mean, I think to me movies is just kind of lazy hanging out, but doing a brazier, like having a little bonfire. There's so many things that you can do, like picnic on the beach trip, hike. There's so many things, like hiring bikes. This is the other thing as well. If you use Girl Math, and for anyone who doesn't know what Girl Math is, look it up. If you use Girl Math and you go, hey, if I would normally spend $100, which realistically, if you go out to eat, you will be if you're paying for a family. If I'm not going to spend that, then I've got a lot more resources in my travel wallet to go and do other things. I could hire bikes for my family. I could probably take my family out on a boat. I could go and do like a coffee train and drink in multiple areas. I could go to different shops. Like, I love going to places like Trader Joe's. I love going to Whole Foods when I'm in the States because it's just new and it's different. And I loved that when I was in Korea as well. I loved going to the local supermarkets. I loved going to the local market and walking through. I adore that when I travel because it's just new and it's interesting. Hiking, skating, working out, buying food. If you think about this comes back to the same kind of thing. And this is where we typically fail, is because if this sounds overwhelming right now, if this is like, well, that's just all too hard, it's because we have a default pattern of when we go to somewhere new, or when we travel, when we leave the house, we just get food. Like, that's a default. It's a default pattern to find somewhere to eat. It's a default pattern to look those things up. The only reason that feels easy is that just that's what we've always done. And so if this all feels hard, it's really just because there's not a skill set there of doing it. But you can create that skill set, and that can become a new default thing once you start to actually try it. You don't have to be good at it to begin with. But over time, you're going to know what kind of places are good for picnics, what kind of beaches, what are your favorite spots, what are the best places to look for in terms of farmers markets, what day farmers markets are on, what activities you like to do. And this may feel like a really arduous task, but it can also be fun and exciting if you change your perspective on it. If you change your perspective to, hey, I get to try something different. I get to think outside the square. I get to enjoy food that I love in a different setting, then it can be enjoyable. And so I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story about what happened when I went to the States recently and kind of how that all went down. So the first thing that happened was I knew I was going to a conference and an event that was going to be catered for. And I knew that that was probably not going to be catered for in any kind of way that I was going to be able to eat the kind of foods that I wanted, like not even vegan foods, like let alone healthy, oil-free. And so the first part of this is to plan and to be thinking about, well, where am I going to stay? What am I going to do? So I got in contact with the organizers. I asked them what the facilities were going to be like, what the plan was, what the itinerary, what the schedule was going to look like. I knew that we were going to have to fly from LA, myself and my general manager, we're going to have to fly from LA to Orlando, and then we're going to have to drive a couple of hours out to the coast to St. Augustine. And so in that kind of planning process, it was like, okay, so how many hours is that drive going to take? Where are we going to be able to stop? What kind of places are there on the way? What kind of access do we have? Are we going to have a microwave? Are we going to have a mini fridge in our room? And I knew we'd have a mini fridge because you pretty much always have a mini fridge. And I wanted to know, where are we going out to eat? What kind of foods are they going to have? And so once I had access to all that information, I started to make a bit of a plan about what we could do differently. And then I proactively communicated that to sell that to the organizers. So we did have a fridge in our hotel room, which is also super normal. But I had arranged with the organizers to say, hey, you know what, we eat this certain way, and us getting a cafe voucher every morning for this place that I'd looked up the menu, they had like bacon and eggs and breakfast burritos and all those kind of things I didn't want to eat. I knew that wasn't going to fly. And then I knew that lunches, they wanted to order in and just have people just tell them what they wanted to order from like a local place. And so I knew that those two things were going to cost them a lot of money, and that I don't want to participate in that, but I was paying for this event. So what I said to them was, hey, we won't be eating that food, so we can just buy our own food on the way. And it's just there's no way that they can refuse that request, because we're just saying, hey, we're not going to participate in that, and we're going to buy our own food at Whole Foods, which was on the drive out. But what I knew was, because they want us to have a phenomenal event, because they really are going to be saving a lot of money on us because we're not eating that food, I knew there was a really good likelihood that they would offer to pay for our groceries anyway. The reason that I didn't ask that to begin with, it was because I thought, you know what, even if they don't, it's okay, because it's much more important for me to spend a bit extra and eat the kind of foods that I want to eat than just go with whatever my environment is going to dictate. I am going to be proactive in terms of what I want to do. But they did end up offering to pay for that. So they gave us a Whole Foods voucher. We bought our food on the way out. And the things that we bought were fruit, snacky vegetables like cucumber, carrot. We bought capsicum. We had some little vegan like protein shakes in there and some protein bars. Stuff that we knew was going to be easy to eat on the go, because that was what our situation was going to be. We also had bananas, and we bought baby potatoes, salad, and olives and hummus. Things that we could fit into that mini fridge, but also things that were going to be okay outside of the mini fridge, like fruit, like figs, bananas, all of that kind of thing. And then we planned our stops, so we allowed time on our trip for those stops. We had made it so easy for those people to say yes. And then when we got to the hotel, we quickly found that we could use a microwave in the lobby, even though there wasn't a microwave in our room, which was absolutely fine. There's always a microwave. Like, everywhere you go, there will be a microwave. There is a microwave at Whole Foods. There is a microwave at every single person's, well, not every single person, but there's, if you ask enough of the right questions, you will find a microwave. We also had a little cooler so that we could put food in on the drive out. And we planned in that we were going to be able to be bringing most of this food with us, and we tried to buy food that mostly didn't need any cooking or refrigeration, because we knew we can cook our potatoes in the microwave, and that's really the only part of it that we needed to cook. Everything else was easy to assemble without any kind of cooking. And then we knew that even if we didn't get a chance to cook our potatoes, we had enough of those other kind of foods that we could snack, and if we were super busy, that we would actually be okay. And the thing is that there were a lot of things that didn't go 100% according to plan, because we hadn't thought about all of them. We did really well on our first night at the event, because we went out to a restaurant, it was all catered, and we'd communicated to begin with that we were 100% vegan, and we had a risotto, like oil-free risotto, butter-free risotto, which was amazing, huge salad, absolutely amazing. And then I think sometimes what can happen is you have a couple of successes and then you get a little bit lax, or you just get a little bit complacent and you forget that you need to proactively communicate, because I didn't do so on the second night. And we went to a place which was essentially like a barbecue, and every single item on the menu, everything had butter on it. So we didn't eat at all at that event. And we just sipped on drinks and we talked to people, and we got pretty hungry, to be honest. And then we went back to our hotel later that night and we cooked up our potatoes in the fridge, or in the microwave in the lobby, mixed together with some salad and olives and cherry tomatoes, and had an absolutely delicious feast in our hotel room. And then we took the leftovers to the hotel, to the airport the next day. And we had tofu, we had olives, we had salads, and we sat in the airport and just ate our food. So saved a ton of money on airport food. And then there also wouldn't have been things that we would have wanted to eat. So you can see that a little bit of planning saved us a lot of effort, or maybe not a lot of effort. A little bit of planning meant that we got to do things the way that we wanted to do it. And we ate so flipping well on that trip, because $100 for drinks and food, if you eat out, does not go very far. Like, let's really be honest. You can spend that in Disney World in the first couple of hours if you have a family with you. If you have that and you go to a grocery store and you get a lot of produce, you can buy a lot of food for very cheap, and then you can go and you can eat it wherever you want. The only problem with this that I've found that I haven't particularly solved for yet in New Zealand is rain. In places where it is a bit harder to be eating outside, because typically, like if you're traveling somewhere, for example, and then you're kind of going between places and it's raining. If you have any thoughts on this, I'd love to hear them, because I haven't 100% figured that out yet, apart from just like eating in a car. So if you don't have a car, then that gets a little bit more difficult. But let me know. There's always a way. If you want to solve a problem, you just have to give yourself no alternative. And then your brain gets really, really good at creative problem solving. I stayed with my friend. So I basically slept on her couch, my general manager and friend, Keisha, while I was in LA. And we mostly cooked our own food. We went out for coffee, but we would organize picnics. We would do microwave potatoes, snacky veggies, hummus, fruit, tofu. I really try to make a point of doing a lot of non-food based activities like skating, walking around, trying to see the different landmarks in a city if I go to it, or if I'm in the countryside, same kind of thing. When we did eat out, I would ask for food that had a ton of veggies in it and then ask for less oil as well. So I wasn't perfect, but I didn't eat out much on that trip, and I had like a really, really phenomenal time because I was doing things that felt aligned with who I wanted to be, and it didn't have to be dependent on food. When I really think about this, and I think about who I want to be and who I see successful people becoming, there's this quote that I love that is from Chris Pratt, and he talks about when he was in the show Parks and Recreation, he was quite overweight, and he said that he would live for meal times, and he would absolutely super enjoy his meal times. He was eating like burgers and fries and milkshakes, and now he's really fit. He really takes care of his body. And he said that my meals are actually quite boring, but the times between my meals are super interesting. I love my life. And it was a very different scenario to when he was essentially living to eat versus eating to live. And I think this is a cool part of changing your identity and changing your behavior around food, is not only do you get to see the effects of that and the results of that and have a body that feels strong and powerful and have a mind that knows that you can stick to your commitments and that you build trust in yourself and you have those behaviors and habits that support your long-term health and goals and just everything that makes you feel good about yourself. And not, that's just not size. Like, there's so many things that come into that. Like, for me, that gave me skating. It gave me back motherhood. It gave me back feeling like I wasn't trapped in my body. Feeling like I wanted to be seen, that I didn't have to hide when I went and I met new people. Like, that's what losing weight gave me. But before I even lost all the weight, and what I see so often happen with people is as soon as you start to change your behavior, you start to see life in a different way. And this is the cool part about this, is you start to expand what you believe is possible. Your worldview starts to change because now you're being forced into behavior that you didn't think was possible or just wasn't comfortable or default anymore. And it's like learning any new skill set, any new job, having a child, getting married, all of these things. There's so much goodness that comes with them, but there's also a lot of difficulty because you're having to become someone new. You're having to learn something. Growth is always stretching, but you also learn new things about yourself that you didn't know and you can't know unless you go through that experience. I didn't know how fun it was to have a picnic on the beach with snacky vegetables until I actually did it. I didn't know how amazing it was to have a warm microwave potato that I had in a backpack and then pull that out hours later and snack on that at a skate park. Like, I didn't, rather than going in and getting sushi or getting burgers, like, I didn't know that. And I have a friend now I went camping with recently in Gisborne, and she's now making microwave potatoes and air fried tofu and sending me pictures of skating around the city and just eating handfuls of tofu. Which is amazing because she just saw how easy it was. This is like a whole new avenue that has opened up for her. So I think there's a lot to be said about this. And I mean, in some ways, this is a very simple, somewhat practical, but somewhat conceptual episode, just talking about some of the ideas that you can do. But really the whole overarching theme or premise, if you will, is that you must be proactive if you want to change behavior. You must look to plan ahead. You've got to be communicating. You need to ask for what you need, and you need to do that ahead of time. And you also need to be creative to solve and then create win-wins for yourself and the people around you. You've got to make that as enjoyable and easy a process as you possibly can. And I'm going to add a little bit here, which I just touched on, and that is, even if you don't want to do this, even if you don't see this as necessary, even if you go, you know what, I am going to have my cake and eat it too, and I'm not going to change my behavior when I go out, because I don't go out very often, and I'm not going to change that. I want to challenge you to do that anyway, so that you have more tools in your arsenal, so that you can do it, so that you know that you've broken a pattern, because a pattern interrupt is so powerful for shattering limiting beliefs. And right now, maybe you have a limiting belief that you can't enjoy your life and do things in some of the ways that I've suggested. That if you were to go and eat with family, that would need to be at a restaurant. That couldn't just be sitting outside on a patio, or I don't know, whatever it is. Or that a date night couldn't be bringing potatoes to a beach. Like, maybe there is some limiting beliefs there where it's like, yeah, that sounds doable, or that sounds like that could work for you, but I can't imagine that happening for me. Something that I'm trying to do with my children is to break the associations that they have around food and special occasions, because I do not want them to think that every time that we do something special, there has to be, quote, special food or treat food associated with that, because that level of association is very hard to break as an adult. If every time you leave the house, you go and get food, like, what's your association? Your association with leaving the house is that you go and get treat food. If every time that you go out with friends, you drink, then your association with going out with friends is that you drink. Just simply by not one time, you're teaching yourself that that's possible. You're showing yourself a different avenue. And I want to challenge you to do that and to not consistently have the same behavior when it comes to your vices or your defaults, so that you can learn that there are other ways of doing things, and at least give yourself those options. I've done a lot of traveling eating this way, and I've also maintained my weight for about the past 4 or 5 years, and realistically I do have quite a few treats, and it's much easier to maintain your fat loss or your weight loss and have a bit more treats, have some more high calorie foods. Transparently, I never thought that I would be able to do that. It's been actually quite surprising to me to realize that that's possible, because I would see people eat like how I do now, and I would be honestly shocked. But weight loss and weight maintenance are two very different things. So that process of learning all these things that I've talked to you about, even though I'm not like 100% with them now, like, I will bring potatoes with me when I leave the house. I will cook tofu. I will bring fruit, whatever the trip. But I will quite often have a vegan pastry, or I'll have a bubble tea or something like that as well. I will occasionally go out for dinner and drink a little bit of alcohol. But I also know how to do all of those other things really, really well. And I think that's what the key is, that I know how to do those because I had to do my time. And so there was a lot of instances during my weight loss phase where the default pattern was to go to an event, go to someone's house, go to like a mum's night, and then eat the banana ice cream, not banana ice cream, banana splits, and the chocolate and the chips and the drinks that were there. Like, that was my default. And so I had to learn what it was like to bring food with me and do things a different way. And I know that there's going to be people that are resistant to this, because I see this on the internet all the time where people are saying, well, don't say no to things because then you're going to crave them even more. And I just simply don't agree with that. I think you have to replace something. I would always bring grapes with me, or like I said before, snacky veggies, potatoes. I wouldn't go into those situations feeling deprived, but you have to learn a level of self-discipline. You have to learn a level of self-denial for really anything that you want to achieve. It's not possible to go through life and not do the self-denial things if you're going to achieve more than just what your environment dictates. Like, we rise or fall to the level of our systems, and our systems are mostly dictated by our environment. So if our environment is pulling us in one direction, then we're going to have the results that environment supports. So I can't see how there's negativity in learning that as a skill set. I think that's only positive. Whether you choose to use that long term, it is up to you. But I think what's important is you being able to have that choice, that you're not a slave to your impulses. And this is where self-denial or learning to say no, learning to do different things, learning to bring food with you, communicate, all of these things. It's really just teaching yourself that you are capable of changing your behavior. And that's those things are what add notches to your belt. I think of this almost like, I'm going to use a terrible analogy here. If someone's in prison and they've got little marks, tattoos on their back for every single person that they've killed, there's milestones that are happening based on activities, and that becomes like an incredibly scary person. I think they have this in Black Panther. I think he's got like little tattoos. One of the villains has got like little tattoos for every time he's killed someone, and it's incredibly intimidating when you see that. And it's the same kind of thing when you put a stake in the ground and you change your behavior, because now you're going, hey, I'm capable of that. Look what I'm capable of. Not that you're a murderer, but you're capable of doing something that's difficult and acting in a way that requires effort. And you do that enough times, you become a different person. So use those as opportunities. It's not just all negative. Like, this is all, it's all opportunity to do hard things. Doing hard things, planning, all of this stuff, communicating, having awkward conversations. It's exactly like that story I shared from Suits. If you want to be a lawyer, you're going to have awkward conversations. If you want to be this person who eats vegetables, looks lean, is different to 99% of the population, it's going to be a little bit difficult, and you're going to have to do the mahi in order to get there. I'm rambling at this point, so I'm going to leave this episode here. Thank you so much for listening. And if you like it, please send me a message or put a review. You know what? Put a review, because the reviews help get this podcast out to more people. We have over 1,000 reviews now, and it's so inspiring to me, because it helps me know I'm not just speaking into the void and that this is actually resonating. I'll see you next week for another episode. All right, bye.